and we trust that God will bless His word to you. Now, it's not always easy to decide what we should preach in a gospel meeting like this, but one of our brethren quoted the verse that I'm going to read with you in his ministry this afternoon, and another one quoted it in his prayer. So it has caused me to go to this verse for the gospel tonight, and it's found in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 14. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 14. These are the writings of the great apostle Paul. He said, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's all we're going to read. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whenever we preach the gospel, there's one thing we'll always do, and that is we always get to the cross. It has been said that the birth of the Lord Jesus divides time. We have B.C. before Christ and A.D. Anno Domini. Then the cross of Christ divides eternity. And that's why we want to invite you tonight to consider the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's absolutely no salvation without Him. And everyone here in the auditorium that has been saved by the grace of God can look back to a definite time when, as a poor, lost, guilty sinner, they trusted Christ for salvation. There's nothing like it. It's the greatest experience that a person could ever have in this life. And it's not just something for eternity, but it's something that we can enjoy now. And I can speak, sad to say, from experience, and some others can, that I tried the pleasures of the world, but I found that there was no lasting pleasure in the world. But now I found something that is really of great value. And the Apostle Paul found this salvation many years ago, so that when he was in prison, when his back was bruised and bleeding, he wasn't complaining, but he was praying and singing praises unto God. So that tells me that that was a great salvation that he experienced, that could cause a person to do something like that. So tonight, we want to bring it to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we were able to speak to the Apostle Paul and ask him, "Are you sure that you're going to be in heaven?" He would have said, "I'm very sure." And then if you ask him, "What makes you so sure you're going to be in heaven?" Well, he could have said, I planted so many different churches or assemblies. I really did a great work for God, and I hazarded my life, and I was shipwrecked, and I was beaten. In one place he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. But you know, he wouldn't have said that. Because he said that there's absolutely nothing that I can boast about. There's nothing that I can glory in save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you feel that you're on your way to heaven, we would like to ask you a question at the beginning of the meeting. What are you depending upon to get you to heaven? What are you depending upon for your salvation? And if it's not Christ and the cross, for Paul said, we preach Christ and Christ crucified. If you're not depending on what the Lord has done, it's not our own works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So it's not works. Some people we read of in the Gospels, they're knocking on the door. And they say, "We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thy name we have cast out demons." And what did the Lord say? "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." We would say, "Well, that's not a, it doesn't seem to be such an awful work." Why would the Lord call them works of iniquity? Well, we know for us today, the Lord would call them works of iniquity for one reason. They despise the one great work that Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Now, when I think of the cross, and I think of this verse that we have read together, I think of something that transpired on the cross. Now, there's a lot of things, but what I have in mind is this. We learn something of the character of God. What kind of a God is the God of heaven? When Paul went into Athens, he saw an idol, or an altar that was ascribed to the unknown God. And he said, this is the God that I'm going to preach to you. And people would say, well, what has that got to do with us in Canada today? But you know, God is largely an unknown God even in Canada. And even though I was brought up in a Christian home, thank God for that, yet I rebelled against the gospel, but I'm glad of those things that I had learned about the cross. And here's the great apostle. What's the first thing we learn from the cross? Well, we learn something about the holiness of God. That's called one of the attributes of God. It's simply an adjective that describes the God of heaven. God is holy. That's something that we need to learn. The holiness of the God of heaven. But you say, but how do you know that? How do you find that out from the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? How do you know that God is holy? I know this because of the cry of the Lord Jesus. Remember, the darkness came over all the land, and right at the end, we have that agonizing cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why was the Lord Jesus forsaken by his God on the cross of Calvary? Well, the psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? I cry in the night season, and thou hearest not in the daytime. You see, he wasn't there. There was no answer. But thou art holy. God is holy. And this verse, or what we're saying about it, shows us that what God thinks of sin. Now, maybe what you think of sin is a little bit different, or maybe it's far different from what God thinks of sin. But what you and I think really isn't important. I was preaching in a house one time, and the man said, do you know what I like about the scriptures? I said, no, but I was interested. Well, he said, 10 people can read the same verse, and they can all get a different interpretation, and they're all right. Well, I said, that's not the Bible I have. And that's not the God of the Bible. God is holy. And God forsook his Son on the cross because he was a sin bearer. God hath made him to be sin for us. We knew no sin. When I think of that verse, if you go back away into the Old Testament, there was a sin offering that was burned outside the camp. It was consumed by the fierce fire of God's anger against sin. But you know, lest you might think that the Lord was sinful himself, the apostle writes, who knew no sin. And while that fire was ascending to God outside the camp, there was a sweet-smelling savor ascending to God from inside the camp, from the altar of burnt offering. God is holy, forsook his Son, beyond the cross of Calvary. Now what about your sins? I hope you know that it's your sins that are keeping you from heaven. Sometimes we ask people why they're not going to heaven, and they say, I'm not saved, or I don't believe, or something like that. Well, that might be true in a way, but the crux of the matter is this. It's my sins. My sins are dragging me right down to the depths of a burning hell. And we would like to say that with tenderness. To think of a soul slipping out into eternity without Christ and without a Savior. And we wouldn't dare say that if it were not written in the Word of God, in the words of the Lord himself. He spoke of a man who said, I am tormented in this flame. Oh, dear friend, don't play fast and loose with your soul. You can have salvation on the authority of God's Word, and you can have it tonight. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't need to put it off any longer. Just think of what God thinks about your sin. So he banished you. He's holy. He banished you from his presence forever. But then there's something else I learned about God from Calvary. I learned his long-suffering. And I appreciate all the attributes of God, but maybe I appreciate that one maybe a little more than some of the others, because I wasn't saved till I was 33 years of age. And you know, it was only because God was long-suffering. God could have banished me from his presence at any time. And there were accidents and near accidents and so on. Well, that could have been the end. But God is long-suffering. How do I learn that from the cross? They told the Lord, if thou be the Christ, come down from the cross and save thyself and us. But the Lord Jesus stayed there on the cross of Calvary, long-suffering. not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. And if I ask you, why are you here in this meeting tonight? I might receive a few different answers. You may say, well, I thought I had to come. Somebody invited me. Well, I'll tell you why you're here. You're here because of the long-suffering of God. God is giving you another opportunity to get this matter settled. But you could miss it and be doomed forever and forever. I preached the gospel in Vancouver quite a few years ago with Brother George Campbell. And one night there was someone came to the meeting on a Friday night, just as the meeting was closed, and Brother George and I were standing at the back of the hall. And they asked for a certain family if they're in the meeting. I didn't know them, but George said, yes, they are. Why? Well, you remember there was a young man. He was in the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. He was 6'7". Quite a figure of a man. You know, he had promised to come out to the gospel meeting the next Sunday. But he was shot and killed on the Friday. He had the safest job, they said, in the station. He had a desk job. But someone murdered a few people not too far away and then came into the station. And they shot two of them. One, talked to later, was wounded in the leg. He was at the funeral in a wheelchair. But here's a young man. He heard the gospel. He's going to come out. You know, none of us have a lease on life. We don't know how long we're going to be in this life. But we know we're not going to live forever. We maybe don't like to face that, but it's something that we need to face. God is long-suffering. How long is that going to last? Maybe this could be your last opportunity. But remember, you're here because God is a God who loves you. Gave His Son to die for you on the cross. And now He's giving you another opportunity. Perhaps your last. To trust Christ as your Savior. But then as well, we see something about the mercy of God. And where would we see that on the cross? Well, you remember the words of the Savior on the cross. Amazing! The Lord Jesus bruised there on the cross at Calvary. And what does He do? He looks down on those that put their very nails in His hands and His feet. And He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a God we have. What a Savior we have. One who could look upon those that caused them such agony on the cross. And yet He could say, Father, forgive them. And we can tell you tonight there is forgiveness. Those sins can be put away. You know, you read Hebrews 11, there's a whole list, whole catalog of men and women, and they were just like us, they were sinners, but you know there's not one mention of their sin. Why is that? Well, I always link it with what it says in Hebrews 10. Their sins and their iniquities, well, I remember no more. You can have forgiveness, dear friend, tonight. This is something that we can offer you on the authority of the Word of God. Your sins can be put away. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. God wants to put away those sins. He wants to forgive you. Maybe some people say, well, you know, when I get to the great white throne, I just leave it up to God. And He can do it. It's up to Him what He does. Oh no, it's too late, the Indian man. That throne is a white throne because of the spotless purity of the one that sits upon it. The Lord who knows everything. And you know, even though you won't come to the cross by faith tonight, when you get to that great white throne, you'll see the marks of Calvary. You'll see the judge upon the throne and the marks of the nails and the print in His feet. But you know, it will all be of no avail. Not be come unto me, all ye that labor. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. May the Lord help you to see that there is mercy tonight. Mercy is simply God withholding something that we deserve. Every one of us deserves to be banished from His presence. For that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's no one that's exempt from that statement. Everyone is included. We're all sinners. How do we know? Not what we feel. That's nothing to do with it. I once met a lady, and she said she had never sinned. And she was 70 years of age. That's young nowadays, but it was old then. But she said, I've never sinned. I said, Mrs. Andreessen, if you drive down the street and you go half a mile above the speed limit, that's sin. Well, she said, I know that, but I've never driven a car in my life. I just picked the wrong illustration. But how did I know that she was a sinner? Because the Word of God tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's divine standard is His beloved Son. And there's none of us surely would say we measure up to the stature of His Son. We all fall far short. God is merciful. Wants to withhold judgment from you. And His Son bore the wrath and the judgment of God so that you could go free. But then you know God is gracious. That's another attribute of God. How do I know that God is gracious? Well, I'll tell you, there was a man on the cross beside the Lord. It's amazing. How would he know who this wonderful person was? Well, God must have revealed it to him. But he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord says, that day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he was with the Lord in paradise or in heaven that day. Not because he died, but because the Lord died. The Lord died on the cross of Calvary. And this man saw the Lord dying. But he seemed to realize it's for me. This man has a kingdom. Here's a man crowned with crown of thorns, hanging on a tree. And this man said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Maybe he was thinking of something in the remote future. But the Lord says, today, today, the grace of God. Here's a man that was really a sinner. But yet God comes out in grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul says, I can only boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's another attribute that we see at the cross, and that is the righteousness of God. And you know what the Apostle Paul said in another verse, I think maybe it was quoted, he gave himself for me. God has found a righteous way to put those sins of yours away. He just doesn't not just brush them to one side. No. He's found a righteous way. And the Apostle Paul says, there's one thing I know and one thing I'm depending upon. He gave himself for me. He's the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My bedroom at home in Michigan, right opposite where my bed is, I get up each morning, there's a text on the wall. You know what it says? He's the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I tell you, it's good to wake up in the morning. Some don't see too well in the morning, but I'm not too bad once I get the glasses on. And I get my eye on that text. The Son of God who loved me. And speaking of that, of course, you know that love really isn't an attribute of God. Love is what God is. God is love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? How do I know I'm a sinner? We're all a sinner. How do I know Christ died for sinners? God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know from the Word of God. How do I know if I trust Christ as my Savior that I'll be saved? Whosoever believeth in Him, God says, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have an appreciation for the love of God and the love of the Lord Jesus? I tell you, you know, He was hated without a cause, but we are loved without a cause. There's absolutely nothing in us to commend us to God, but God commended His love toward us. And I'm glad He did. And I was thinking when one of our brethren was telling a little bit about his conversion, you know, one night, back in 1966, in the month of March, my wife and I went to bed. And I had been stirred up from what I had learned as a boy. I weren't attending meetings. I was 33 years of age. And I asked my wife a question. I said, do you think you'll ever be in heaven? She said, I hope that one day I will be in heaven. I said, you could lay your head in the pillow tonight, and if you died in your sleep, you'd be in hell. You only other thing I remember saying to her that night was quoting John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I went to sleep. My wife couldn't sleep. She thought if I lay my head in the pillow, I might die in my sleep. You know, she started to pray. By this, it was the early hours of March 10, 1966. And there she is, praying. What do you think she was praying? She was praying that God would save me, so I could help her to get saved. She thought I knew more about it than she did. But she didn't seem to be getting anywhere, and then she changed her prayer. She said, Lord, show me how I can get this salvation. That's what you need to do. Ask. The Lord wants to show you. Ask him, how can I get this salvation? And he brought John 3:16 right to her mind, and she was saved right there and then. I'm not going to take time to give all the details. I went to work that day, and I couldn't work. I often wondered what would happen if God saved me and my wife wasn't saved. And you know, I went to a place where I could be all alone, and I told the Lord, I'm not leaving this place till I get the matter settled. It's good to have that determination, to really want God's salvation more than anything else in all the world. Nothing else mattered. Wasn't thinking about my friends or any others. Was my soul. More verses I thought of, the more muddled I became, and I thought it's just nothing seems to help. And then I remembered what I read in the Word of God. I read about Peter walking in the water. He began to sink, and I said, Lord, that's me. I'm sinking right down to a burning hell, and that's where I deserve to be. But then I remembered what Peter said. He said, Lord, save me. And the Lord stretched forth his hand and caught him. And right there and then it dawned on me. I'm the sinner who can do nothing, but Christ is the Savior who has done everything. Hallelujah, what a Savior. There's nothing like it. I tell you, when I went back home that night and I asked my wife, I said, do you still think you're saved? She had asked me in the morning what I thought. I said, I'm not an expert. I'm still not an expert. But if you're saved, you'll know it, and I'll tell you how you'll know it. I asked her, how do you know? She said, well, I got down a Bible and I opened the Bible, didn't know where to open, and it opened in Lamentations. And sometimes they call that the clean part of your Bible. But you know, she read it. Some beautiful words. It goes something like this. I cried unto thee out of the low dungeon, thou hast heard my cry. Hide not thine eye, and so on. And it goes on to say, behold, thou hast redeemed my life. She said, I know because God has told me in his word. Just over 6 years ago, I was preaching the gospel in a conference in Hardwick, Vermont. And you know, I wasn't sure what to preach, but the text that God gave me was, well, we must needs die. There's water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet hath he devised means whereby his banished be not expelled from him. Remember, about 3 times at least, I quoted the scripture, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I wasn't preaching to my wife, but within 24 hours, my wife had gone home to hell. Never had high blood pressure, never was overweight. Chest pains, 2 hours later, gone. Oh, dear friend, I'm so glad for March 10, 1966. And I certainly appreciate the work of Christ on the cross. There's nothing like it. These are realities. Not just something that appeases. I used to think of Christians that they're people that just can't get along in the world. And they're just a little bit backward, most of them. Well, but they are. That's where I am today. And I'm glad to be with them. And I'll tell you, there's only one thing that I can glory in, or boast about, and that's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. To know him, whom to know is life eternal. Nothing like it, not just for the future, but something we can enjoy now. And the greatest regret in my life, like it will always be, is that when I was younger, I didn't go in for God's salvation. I tried the broken cisterns for their water stale, but thank God, I found a man who said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. May the Lord help you, dear friend, tonight to see your need. Sinner before the God of heaven, may God help you to look at the cross. See the lovely man of Calvary, the one that I can say, and many can say, and I hope you'll be able to say it before this meeting draws to a close. He's the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.